From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable. Preseason football continues every other week basis. This is our last episode of the preseason or the offseason, however you want to look at it. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Of course, our website, BleedBlueShow.com. Here going on for another football season. What's going on, Chris? I hope all is well. What's up, man? How's everything?
Hey, thank you, man, because I've been having technical difficulties over here. I've been trying to log in for about 10 minutes, and finally, at the right time, it popped through. So appreciate that, man. This has been interesting. We're going to pop into this as the show continues, man. But this has been an interesting preseason, man. It's weird. I'm always a mindful, Steve, of every year you say, we can't get to a camp. We can't get to a camp without a major injury, probably three or four of them. And we almost made it. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, man, it's been interesting, and I can't wait to really chop it up. Our crew attended the Yankees game on Monday. That was a lot of fun, bro, at Yankee Stadium, man, with Mets and Yankees. And it was a very interesting crowd, man, to just mix up. It's the weirdest kind of a rivalry ever, man. When all of them they come together in separate uniforms and hug up whenever something goes on. It's the weirdest ever, man. But I just wanted to let you know, man. That was quite a surprise. It's quite an interesting kind of mix up. But yeah, man. Let's dive in, Steve. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Great Azul.
To be quite honest, I'm gonna be fair. You never probably ever heard me say this ever on the show, and I'm going to say it for the first time in 8 years on the show. The Mets are a better team this year. They are. Even with the Yankees' struggles lately, I know they won the last three, but the Mets have the edge. I'm a big guy when it comes to defense in all sports, and they have the ultimate 1-2 punch right now. DeGrom, Matt Scherzer, and they also have other arms you can go to. They're going to be a very tough out in the National League. It should be a fun playoffs. And baseball, and the crazy thing is, baseball was almost non-existent with the lockout. And now look at it. You got one LA team that's running things, you know, the Dodgers. You got the two New York teams, kind of like maybe Chicago White Sox to an extent in the Central. Too bad the Cubs are not playing well. But nonetheless, when the Mets and the Yankees are really on top of their game, I mean, you can never say baseball is out, man. People are watching, man. They want to see these squads on TV. I'm glad you enjoyed the game and get brought in. Who are you cheering for? Because I know you Yankee game, but you kind of got this tie the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a new rule now. I haven't been to Citi Field only twice because I'm sorry, I'm sentimental and I miss Jay. So, but when I'm there, I don't really have any Mets gear, so I don't rep them. I have to stay a Yankee all the time. I'm always wearing my vintage Jeter or some of the newer ones like Judge or Stanton. So I stay Yankee everywhere. I hope this is what I am. I am at heart a Yankee fan, but I'm always really rooting for any New York area team that does well in a national sense. In other words, put it this way, I'm so passionate about it that I damn near shed a tear when the Rangers got eliminated, man, this past Stanley Cup pursuit. You know, I really wanted them to just keep it moving, keep this – Because in this, I am a diehard New York sports fan. That's what I am. So if I want to go to the heart of things, yes, I'm probably more of a Yankee fan. If I actually care about how we do in our region, and if it's the Mets versus, say, the Astros, for instance, I'm crying out. I am evoking the ghost of Tom Seaver, man, as high as I can. So that's why I was rooting for the Yankees. I got to stay Yanks. You know, I have nothing to give.
All right.
See, the Mets never did it to me, but I'm a Yankee fan, so that's how I am.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Let's get everything up to speed on this podcast, this show, because next week we cut off our shows next Tuesday with the hockey, so we'll be on our week,
right.
Vacation week. We will actually return. I think we should return in two. Yeah, we'll be returning in 2 weeks. That's right. Thursday
That's
night,
right.
8 p.m. Not 8 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern. We have. Preseason. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. We have regular season game number one versus the Titans.
Yep.
September the 8th, 7
Correct.
p.m. And that's also the same night as Rams and Bills to kick off the season. So after this episode, this is actually our last episode of the preseason, and give us your thoughts up until this, this point with the preseason. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to, get into our picks. Still owe Carl his money, man. I got to give him his money from winning the picks last year.
What's the date of the Titans game?
I mean,
it's
9-11 on September 11th. But we come on Thursday like we normally do, that right before the start of the season. We'll get off behind off-air how we're going to coordinate, because I know I'm going to be on the go a lot like you are. So we'll talk about coordination, who's going to lead the charge on this episode.
I got you. Let's roll.
All right. We'll get the guys on the line. But this is a big thing. To your point, the injuries just came out of fucking nowhere, dude. I want to talk about what happened in Cincinnati, versus Cincinnati on Sunday. Let's talk. And after we get a fourth or fifth person, we got to put the clock in. So right now, we no clock until a fourth, fifth person gets on the line. And then we'll have to do the clock so we can have everybody have equal time to speak. I don't know. Let's see. Who's on? Let's bring them on. Whoever's on.
Who's up on the house here?
I don't even have the screen up.
Ghost.
Is anybody up? I didn't see anybody. All right, we'll go back.
I don't know who it is. Yeah. No. 929-477-4171, Bleed Blue Roundtable, Stephen Chris. This is the wrap-up episode, preseason wrap-up episode. Injury. Steve, look.
Yeah, let's go there.
About 6 or 7 years ago, man, you said, man, it seems like every preseason we get banged up on mocks. Oh, never just one player. It was always like 5 or 6. And it seems like we almost got there. I mean, as far as free. And then all of a sudden, it seems like right after the Bengals game, somebody hit us with a bowling pin, bro. I mean, today was a bad one to me because Colin Johnson, the second-year wide receiver, he's been the one on the depth chart. Where am I at? Hold on, let me pick my thing up. On the depth chart, I've got him as the fourth. He just passed by Marcus Kemp as probably the fourth string cat that we have after Holiday and Slayton. I don't know why Board is there, but okay, that's another story. Yeah, we ain't talking about that.
I was thinking the same thing.
But Colin Johnson was burning it up with all the QBs in the preseason for those first two games against the Patriots and the Bengals. Then today, yesterday actually, he tore his Achilles badly.
Yeah.
It was ugly. And he's going to miss the entire season, bro. We haven't seen Kadarius Toney, but he was at practice. I want to say that was yesterday too, right? I think it was yesterday too. He was holding his hamstring. And we haven't seen him. Who else? Shepherd is back, but I don't know what's going on with him because you got to remember he had an Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what we're getting there. And Darius Slayton's job was in trouble. And so now he's a little safer now. Not, you know, because he was
–
we ain't talking about – yeah, go ahead, bro. Go ahead, go ahead.
No, I'm glad you went in this direction because I actually had a whole layout of topics to discuss for this episode tonight,
okay.
Right? But you're actually hitting on the main one of my main topics, and it's actually the theme of the wide receivers. I was going to ask you and any other person who was coming on the theme of do you prefer the big wide receiver or versus these gadget wide receivers, meaning, or more so, what is beneficial for Daniel Jones? This is really more about him and his production at the end of the day, whether this team succeeds or not, obviously, right? So I was thinking about it.
Right.
Like, okay, Colin Johnson, like you said, he was getting first-team reps in camp.
Yes,
you
he
saw
was.
Him in the Patriot game. You saw him in the Bengal game. He had the three catches for 41 yards versus Cincinnati on Sunday. Like he seems like a guy who will get open. He's a big target. They'll find him. He was getting these targets also in New England, right? And even with the pop-out, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Remember he had the ball, got popped out in the second quarter?
Yeah.
We talked about that. But outside of that, I mean, he's looked like a reliable catcher, a reliable guy to catch balls in the middle of the field. He's a big guy, 6'6", 220, wide receiver out of Texas, right? He played a little bit with the Jaguars.
Yeah.
He was considered a very good blocker for us last year. But also, Dable, the head coach, is also big on David Sills, another wide receiver who's getting good production
in
at first team office as well with the five catches and the 56 yards. So, you know, I say, okay, wow, all these wide receivers. And then I see Wandell Robinson, you know, and try to do a little gadget play. Not even a gadget play. It was like kind of like a wide receiver screen or whatever, and it got, like, muffled up. And now it goes me to thinking to you, Chris, like, what do you prefer right now? I mean, sometimes a shifty young wide receiver is great, you know, if he has the skills, like an Odell Beckham Jr. or DeSean Jackson for speed. I hate to say the name. But or like a Tyreek Hill or, you know, with these big targets like the Galladays, the Colin Johnsons. What would you rather have? Like you said, Shepard's coming back with the Achilles. Robinson, Tony hasn't been played. And I would put Slayton in that smaller wide receiver category. What would you prefer? What do you prefer based on what we've seen and based off what we need? Big wide receiver or smaller target? And when I asked that question, this is also a carryover. I was hoping Kristen would have been on this episode. Galladay's been getting a lot of hate on social media. And I'm kind of trying to defend Galladay. As a matter of fact, let's do it right now before I forget. You know, I'm playing attorney at law.
Yeah.
I was gonna go to bat for Galladay because I can't believe what I was hearing from Giant fans on social media since the last piece of the game. I don't think you knew of this, like going back and forth on Twitter.
What are you hearing?
No, there's just okay. Let me say this, and I want you to answer this question because I know I threw a lot at you.
Okay.
To make it seem as if Galladay lack of production in year number one was his fault. Yeah, he's been crying for the ball. Yeah, he's been on some Keyshawn Johnson, throw me the damn ball shit. I get that. But I can't knock it. If you don't look his way or throw his way, you know, he only had 74, 75 targets year number one with us, right? 2 years in Detroit with Matthew Stafford, 118-plus targets, back-to-back seasons. And then when I add on that fact that the same quarterback who was throwing to Galladay went in and made Cooper Kupp probably the best wide receiver in the league with all those targets to him. So how are fans killing Galladay when you've seen if you get the quarterback, you give him targets? This is the reason why we gave him money because of Matthew Stafford. Let's thank Matthew Stafford, right?
Right.
I'm just trying to understand why is Galladay getting so much hate? I don't get it.
Well,
the numbers don't lie. The targets don't lie.
The numbers do not lie. The numbers do not lie. You're absolutely correct. If I'm a judge and you are...
One more point. I got to add this to the narrative. Because this is the same thing with another Detroit Lion wide receiver we had called Golden Tate. Yeah, outside of the four-game suspension, where was his targets with the same quarterback in that 1 year? Like, why are our number one wide receivers are not getting targets? I mean, that's a simple question for me. And you, okay. You go ahead, fire away. I know I threw a lot at you, bro. Go ahead.
No. Because the problem with this, if you want to call it a problem, is I totally agree with you. Totally 1,000%. You know, receivers are just that. They receive the ball. They don't throw to themselves. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't call plays, and they're not aware of what the offensive scheme is through a quarterback trained that way. They're trained to run routes. They're trained, and also, you know, a lot of them have a special connection with a quarterback, a la Devontae Adams last year with Rodgers. That's why Rodgers is so frustrated in training camp, because sometimes you get that connection where you can. You know, or it could be a legendary hookup, like Manning was with my man, Marvin Harrison, you know. But on this particular team, at this particular time, with this particular franchise, Steve, I'm sorry. I got to roll with what Galladay's trying to convey, okay? Because, okay, where do I start? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's loaded. It's loaded, man. It's loaded. I get it.
Okay.
Now peel it back in layers. Okay. Peel it back in layers.
Galladay dropped a key pass in the first game against the Patriots, right? They could have given us a first down in the red zone. And the smart thing for me would have been to go right back to him, okay, on the next series or whatever. They didn't do that. Okay, fine and dandy. All right. More than likely, the reason they didn't do that is that he went back to the sidelines and he started being pissed the fuck off, and he started mouthing, and that was a team energy thing. Got it. But that added to the emergence of Colin Johnson in that game. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
We did. So because you know Galladay started, and you know most of the starters weren't supposed to play more than two series anyway. I understand that. But if you cry for the ball like you do, you could have got back in the game. But he obviously pissed somebody off. This is the new regime, whatever. It is whatever it is. Okay. I'm going to slightly tilt the subject. Giant fans don't know all their fucking homework all the goddamn time either, Steve. You know, I happen to be one. And obviously when you've been a Giant fan for over 50 years, you run into other Giant fans, and you know exactly what they consist of. Some are very cerebral. Some are very knowledgeable. Some know the X's and O's with the eyes closed backwards on Braille upside down. Then there's some that don't have a clue, and they're just talking a bunch of nonsense. And those are the ones who sit on Twitter most of the time. Those are the ones that join a thread on Facebook and add quality nonsense to a sophisticated conversation. So forget them. We have to sort of pick and choose. Unfortunately, if you're a football player and you're the subject with thin skin, that can get to you. And I believe it kind of got to Galladay a lot. But nonetheless, guess what? If you look at the depth chart as of right this minute, he is still our number one receiver. And I prefer going to him at this point, particularly since Colin Johnson, you know, is not around anymore, you know. And he's now, as far as I'm concerned, besides being our number one guy, probably our number one important target, which are two different things. I'm explaining what I mean by that. Wondell Robinson, he got his looks, he got his little chances, and he got a few targets in, and that was wonderful. But this kid Alec Bachman, who nobody's ever seen before. has been burning it up in camp as a little squirt. He looks like Wayne Corbett to me. Okay, if you remember Wayne Corbett from the Jets about 20
years. Yeah,
and he is running wonderful last all wharf routes. He is friggin' he gets open all the friggin' time. He's getting the quality first down. He's getting the running in the slide. He's doing it.
Hold that.
And this kid,
I don't want to lose. Hold that thought, and I want you to continue because I know you're going in about right now. Do you think he makes the 53-man roster though?
I think he does. Alex Bachman.
Okay, we're going to hold that. We'll come back to that 53-man roster later in this episode.
Okay,
that's important. But go ahead.
I think he makes it because now all of a sudden we've gotten thin just off one injury, or actually two, because I'm still uncertain at this point what Jabal has in store for Kadarius Toney. I don't know. In fact, it seems like no one does. You know? So, it gets hairy the more and more we go. You know? We always talk about Darius Slayton's potential, but he doesn't produce. Galladay, we already covered him. Shepard, what? And I said all of that. I said all of this for the last three or four minutes to land right here. What I'm about to say now, Steve. Your quarterback is on point, knowledgeable, cerebral, confident, and his leadership is above reproach. He can take care of all of that for you. He can take care of all that for you. But you got to have someone in that pocket, because I'm not going into this conversation. We've done this for 3 years. And if we had a reliable cat that could give us some kind of clue from the quarterback position that he is sure about what the freaking game plan is, bro, I'd have a better assessment. I could go on the tight ends if you want it, but if you said wide receiver. The original question, what do I prefer? I prefer it go to Kadarius, Kenny Galladay constantly. I prefer he be the number one cat. I prefer he be the one we look out for first. I want him to take the brunt of the blame if the ball goes astray, if he makes a drop, if there's an interception. If he's got to be, he wants to be the guy. He said he's the guy. We pay him like he's the guy. He needs to be the guy. That's it.
I will also say, let's give the Giants the benefit of the doubt because it is preseason. They may be holding their cards, may not be showing everything. So some of these preseason games, a lot of the plays that they're running out there is kind of basic. So they may not be showing their offensive play hands for week number one versus Tennessee. I'll give the Giants that. So whatever we have seen up until this point, I mean, you can only go off live game action, but I think there's more to be seen. I'm thinking and I'm assuming Mike Kafka, Dable have something drawn up. They have to. I mean, there's no way other way around it, because you got to see this quarterback in a lame duck contract year. He's got to sling the ball. He's got to become somewhat of a Josh Allen for the Bills. Maybe get outside of the pocket. They probably see a little bit of that. And I'm with that's going to be my easy answer. I think in other offenses, other teams, depending on the quarterback skill set, I may go smaller wide receiver. If you gave me Aaron Rodgers, I know that's a lead. Let me tone it down. Russell Wilson, give me let me think of a quarterback. Maybe not Herbert. Justin Fields. I'm thinking about mobile quarterbacks who I think are accurate. Oh. That could utilize these Sterling Shepherds, Wandell Robinsons, Kadarius Toneys. I'm looking at it from that angle. But because we're talking about Daniel, just I think from the small sample that I've seen in game action in preseason, it looked comfortable throwing to Colin Johnson. And to your point, I would have gone back to Galladay, but maybe they're holding plays, holding cards, things of that nature. I can understand that angle. But for this quarterback, give me the big receiver – more snaps than your Sterling Shepard coming off an Achilles, Kadarius Toney with the hamstring. I was never big on Wandell Robinson anyway, so I don't know what plans. It's like they got a logjam for the same type of cat back there. It's like three of them cats are the same player. And then Darius Slayton, honestly, he needs a makeup year, man. I mean, we were big on – It was like when he came into the league, I kind of slept on him, and he had a nice opening year and then kind of took a couple steps back. So, yeah, he kind of needs a big year too, but it all triggered by the quarterback. I don't know if the quarterback is accurate enough to hit smaller receivers, but I think he could do some damage with the bigger targets. But that was the theme up until what you say. We have to get into this with these injuries, man. That Colin Johnson, I thought he would have worked this season. That's one of those things. It was a nice find within your own roster to bring him up. however he was misutilized last year, that would have been a nice fit. Big 6'6 receiver, man. Go with Galladay with this quarterback. And then you could probably gamble. Maybe we could find another win and win and a half this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yes. Or use Tony as what's my man out in San Francisco? Wanted to leave there. Use him in that way. And then you have to
He's a little different. Like, that's a different breed of player. That guy, Deebo Samuel, that's a pure like, he breaks tackles. Like, he's nobody in the league is that guy. I wouldn't go that far.
I'm saying as far as potential. Yeah, you're right. But I don't. Okay, back to your point. I don't know what's going on with Tony anymore, man. Because they're like you said, they're playing it close to their sleeve. They're not telling the press or media or anybody exactly what's going on with really half of these guys. Tell the truth. So yes, Steve, to your original point, it's going to have to be Galladay. I would, if you had said yesterday. Who would it be? If we had the show yesterday, I would have said Colin Johnson and Kenny Galladay are our two big guys, and we should utilize them just that way. But now I'm at a standstill, bro. I don't even know what to say. Sorry about that.
I will give props, and hopefully we hear from Manny Dogs in the future. And what you guys were talking about with Bellinger, I like this blocking this fall. I like what I saw out of the blocking, yet preseason or not. We talked about a little bit of the pass catching thing, but I'm more with this roster and what I would like to do, and we're going to segue to another player, and I want to get your thoughts on number 26 and what he said. But the blocking from Bellinger, if that's what it's going to be, I am all for what he's bringing to the table. I love the effort. It was blue collar, no holding, no grasping. Arms extended, getting downfield. It's something we missed. We didn't have it. I'm not going to mention the other guy with the dog barking noise. But tight end blocking-wise, what I saw in the Cincinnati game, I'm with you guys on that. I wish there were fantasy football stats, Chris, when it comes to blocking scores or blocking grades, because I know fantasy football is more about catches, receiving, rushing, things like that. But sometimes there's going to be a day – or maybe there is out there a system where your offensive linemen or your tight ends are getting scores and points for great blocking and not penalties and losing scores. I would love to see that day, man. I might just be all in with fantasy football at that point. But, yeah, man, I wanted to give props to that. Anything else you'd like to add on your boy Bellinger in the first couple of games? I got your thoughts on Barkley.
Real quick. Look, I'm looking at the depth chart, Steve, and I see four. I see a second year guy, a third year guy, and it's just a pool of rookies, man. I mean, because Ricky Fields Jones, he's on IR. I don't know. I think
he's
a toe injury. I don't know. Is he done?
He's done.
Okay,
he's done.
So you got Bellinger, Chris Myrick, Austin Allen, and Tanner Hudson. Eight career receptions between them. I'm loving the fact that they all can block. I'm with you on that. Who's going to catch? It better be by default Bellinger. Even though he didn't, I noticed social media the last time I was on Twitter, they jumped his ass when he dropped that one pass against, was it the Patriots? It was a little bit premature. These things happen. You don't have to crucify the goddamn dude. But that worries me a little bit, this inexperience. Hopefully we have the coaching staff that can handle that. That's all I'm going to say about that, man. But it got to be the Bellinger by default, man, as our number one dude coming in. A rookie who everybody slept on and probably at his highest potential, they're going to regret sleeping on him. So that's how that is. So number 26, talk to me, man. What's up with this?
I apologize. I should have jumped the gun on number 26. Let's hold that off because I think we need to drill down on this theme of injuries, man. There's a lot more that we didn't even discuss yet. Darian Beavers towards ACL versus the Bengals. What are your thoughts on that, man? I mean, you saw him getting first-team snaps before Blake Martinez. They had plans for him. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Yeah, throw your thing.
Man, let me backtrack, because just before that, I thought that Kayvon Thibodeau, oh my God, I yelled in agony.
Went after his knees, right? When it went after his knees.
It was his MCL, yes, and not his ACL. Thank goodness. And he's going to be all right. You know, he's gonna take off against the Jets, and they're going to continue to rehab that. So he'll be fine. But Darian Beavers, bro, he's gone, like you said, for the rest of the season. His ACL did go. And he could have pushed Mike Blake Martinez, who also had an ACL, now that I think about it. So Darian Beavers has a lot of potential, okay? But potential ain't going to really win us any football games this year. I'm high on him. Hopefully he won't be gun-shy, and he'll be back in full health in 2023. He's gone. We're going to feel that a little bit worse than it sounds. Because we need all the depth we can with the kind of scheme that Martindale is going to put in, which is already difficult. We need all the depth we can possibly muster, and that's going to hurt, bro. That's all I got to say about him on that defensive side. But
yeah, we could use some of that Cincinnati Bearcat love, man. I mean, you know, they had a good college football season, man. And him coming over to the Giants on the defensive end, you know, a guy who played with Sauce Gardner in Cincinnati, he was taking first team snaps, and that actually goes to the other part where we saw Blake Martinez come back in the Cincinnati game. And I know, not used to seeing him injured, and it's crazy because guys, it's funny, you have a revolving door. Guys are getting injured or got injured in the game, like you said, like with Thibodeau, got his knees cut out. Darian Beavers. Oh, man, the Colin Johnson one stings, man. I mean, that was just the other day, you know? Like, and then Aziz Ojulari got hurt in the joint practice with his leg. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, this is the guy we are depending to get after the quarterback, you know, this season.
Steve, I don't really –
I mean, these guys.
That's about with Ojulari, bro, I don't have a thought. I don't have a thought. I just –
I'm actually liking this shit when it was during COVID and motherfuckers was doing preseason over Zoom. I'd rather do that. Motherfuckers dropping like five again, man. We ain't gonna have no fucking roster by the time we get to the Titans. Shit.
Now here's the thing though. The Bleed Blue fans are listening to this show right now, and they're saying, wow, they're talking about all these injuries and they didn't get to the offensive line yet. It's ugly. The ones that I got to switch real quick, Steve. I haven't asked you the question. Isn't it weird or strange or lucky? I don't know what the term is, that Andrew Thomas and Evan Neal, they are healthy right now. I'm not trying to knock them. But, I mean, Jinxel, but they are healthy right now. Everybody else. I mean, okay, you got Gates and Pert. They're gone the first 4 weeks. We know.
Right. That. And another two, right?
Yeah. Another two. Yeah. And Holden. But I didn't know him. I didn't see him. I don't know what he's doing. Okay. But then, you know, Feliciano, he's not gone, but he's hurt. Bredesen, hurt. Lemieux, scratching my head. Max Garcia played too long the other night. Mm-hmm. Azudu has issues. I don't know what to say, Steve. The thing is, before the Cincinnati game, we didn't have all of these problems. And it seems like we got hurt just on one preseason game, about all of them. You know, your boy Sandro is gone on R&B, one of the RBs, but we'll talk about him in a few minutes. I don't know. We're already banged up, or are we banged up, or what are they doing? Are they holding something back, as you alluded to earlier? Is there a system in place that we don't understand from previous seasons that the coaches are employing right now? I hope so, if it'll keep everybody healthy. I don't know. I can't. Steve, I'm scratching my head, man. I'm asking you for relief here, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we can't blame this on Tom Coughlin no more. It's like two regimes. This is gone by now. Like, what? Like, this was a Tom Coughlin. We used to always talk about that when he was here. Now, Dable's, like, I the strength and conditioning, maybe it's just bad luck, freak accidents or whatever.
I think it's bad luck.
I mean, this goes into our evaluation of how many wins this team's going to have. Like, I didn't think we were going to win a lot anyway at full strength. I mean, some of the stuff is getting knocked down. Maybe we're overreacting to an extent. But, I mean, they're really putting an emphasis of trying to get guys out there to play full two series. I mean, even in this Jets game, we'll be looking forward to your post about how that's game going on. But hopefully guys don't drop in that game, because it's really important that they actually do play or not play, yeah, play well, but have some continuity. And that's what they've been trying to do, like even with the first team guys out there, even the first two games. So, this is bad, man. You know, with all the injuries you've been saying, man.
Well, did I also mention, and I'm going to say it, not, we ain't going to belabor it, but also keep in mind that Danny Dimes, as they call him, he had neck surgery in the offseason. Okay?
That's something
that in the back of your mind, if you're any player in any position, that's going to really haunt you. Just going to say that, and just we'll take it from there. You have to educate me on what we had, what you, whoa. Graham Dano is out with a concussion. How a kicker in a regular season game, let alone a preseason, is beyond me. What?
Our team MVP.
I know. Look, we got 2 weeks. We'll be all right. Okay.
Are you sure about that? The team we're going to play down in Nashville ain't no cupcake. That's a very solid blue-collar team, man.
We have to put up a fight. This is what I do know. They ain't going to get blown out 36 because this particular coaching staff ain't going to allow that. Okay? On both ends of the ball. I know this is a work in progress from a personnel perspective, but these particular coaches – I can't. This isn't a wash. And if they do need to clean up anything first, despite the injuries, and I'm going to say this because I don't want to talk about it, Steve. Please spare me, man. They got to start with employee number 8. That's all I got to say. Because that's where all the issues actually stem from to a certain degree. Now, it's not his fault that certain other players on offense are hurt. But this, it also doesn't give you a load of confidence in you as far as leadership is concerned, on-field leadership is concerned, going forward either. And I'm going to stay right there with that because I'm really dying to ask you about 26 here. I need to get educated on what's what. And
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. No, you take it from there, man, because I need to know. I don't know the origin, actually, of where all of this is coming from, and why everybody's basically pissed at him, or what? I don't know what's going on. So, because all I see is all I saw was the fact that he said, "Look, I'm ready to hit the ground running. And I want to be a complete back, and this and that." That's all I saw. I'm missing everything else. So I need education here. So that's what I'm talking about.
I think it comes to Saquon Barkley. And you know you're like the face of the franchise ever since, definitely since Odell Beckham Jr. left, right? I think after his injury in Chicago, being out for a year, I think you get so many questions. He gets so many questions about this and that, what you're going to do. It probably annoyed the fuck out of him. I think that's just human nature. Listen, man, I am all for non-political correctness. You already know that about me, Chris. So I have no problem him venting the way that he did, you know, saying, I'm back better than ever, motivated to shut everyone up. Hey, listen, all you got to do is secure the ball, bruh. get you about 4.3-ish, 4.2 at minimum a carry, and you'll be all right with Giants fans. You know what I'm saying? Just move that rock about 4.2, 4.3 yards per carry.
Yeah,
but just move the chains, man. And what I've noticed in the in a couple of these games, Chris, is behind the line, you know, you got to get more. See, the problem with that in preseason, you alluded to it about 20 minutes ago with Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas, just the O-line in general, like, you got to have continuity. You just can't throw five guys on a line and expect the shit to work. You know what I'm saying? And especially with a running back that, you know, is probably thinking – you know, he's probably thinking in the back of his mind, he was at one point. Now he could just go out and play. Like, football is not just physical, but it's physics. It's force. It's like, you know, this is why they weightlift and they strip and condition and all that shit. Because it's not cut and dry just throwing five guys on the line and just run behind those guys. And no, it's a technique. It's a strategy. It's not just coaching and it's a scheme. So I think he just kind of, I mean, he's been here for a little bit, you know, contract coming up or whatever. I think all that came out of his, you know, kind of a, I would call it a frustration. I would just say he was just, said, fuck it. He kept the PG. So I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? It could have been worse.
He said, Right. He said, fuck everybody. And he said everybody needed, you know, he said he's fed up with people, you know, that don't know football, try to speak on it. And I'm with him. I'm absolutely with him on that. You know, look, I'm going to be, you know, this is a competitive dude. He knows what's expected of him, and he's been working real hard ever since his injury to come back. And let's look at the positives about this, Steve. He's healthier right now and supposedly more explosive. He's got a more of a creative
situation. More explosive? What do you mean by more explosive?
I'm talking about his times so far and work. You know, his training. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about on
okay
because we haven't seen him. Okay, I'm talking about also the fact that he has more creative coaching with on the ball and Kafka. I'm talking about the fact that the Giants have been, you know, I have to give them credit, man. They did, in the last 2 years, pick up two tackles in the top seven of their drafts, okay? And I like that. And they also got, let's admit it, even though it doesn't look pretty, there was an attempt to get more elite playmaking on the outside. I'll give them that, too. And the blocking that you alluded to earlier with the tight end, that's going to factor in as well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also, when I said the outside, I was counting Tony in that equation. I don't know what kind of Tony is coming back either besides, you know, I know more about Barkley coming back than Tony. So that's kind of confusing me a bit and start stifling my thought process in terms of how our offensive schemes are going to, because this guy is very important. It's hard to bring Tony down when he's in full strength, bro. That's what I was looking at. Also, Tony's a blocker. And he can give you another dimension. So if you got him on all cylinders, you got a healthy Galladay, you got Jones finally with his head out of his ass, and you got Saquon behind a solid line, we could do some things. We ain't going to win a Super Bowl, but we can scare teams. Okay? And that's pretty much where Barkley was talking about. You know? He's like, you know, what did he say? You probably have the quote in front of you, Steve. He said something about all pros with clickers in their hands. I like that. I like you saying you don't know shit, so don't say shit and just watch. And I like that. And the ball loves him. And also the ball said something the other day on one of the sites about, look, man, the guy has a good mindset. He's learned our stuff. He's played hard. He ran hard. I think he's getting ready to shut everybody up. But in order for that to happen, the rest of the team offensively has to come together. And that's why I'm not really expecting much out of this game, upcoming game against the Jets, which all the fans are all looking forward to. But I think the ball's going to use this basically as a like you should, a tryout, you know. A little quick history. All preseason games, when they were called exhibitions, were important, man, at one point in history. They were watched with the same kind of fever and prime time excitement as a regular season game. But that all changed because of one coach by the name of Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells in the 80s said, look, man, I'm not trying to entertain y'all with no damn preseason game. You know, that's exactly what he said. He says, I'm playing Sims for maybe two series and snatching them out. You know, he said, I'm playing, what was my man's name? Our old left tackle, George something. He says, I'm playing him for maybe one series and I'm snatching them out. He said, that's it. He says, don't expect a whole lot. I'm not interested in winning as much as I'm interested in what they got to show me from the as far as the heart I see on the field. And sure enough, that's how it happened. And then all of a sudden, and he was criticized badly by the New York media, and all of a sudden other teams, particularly Bill Walsh, started following suit and going, and also I forgot his name. He's a NASCAR Hall of Famer too. Joe Gibbs. Yeah.
Joe Gibbs.
And they were like, you know what? That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And so all of a sudden it became less and less and less, and now preseason's just preseason. Okay, so maybe the ball has adopted that, but and this is New York, and you are in the Meadowlands, so yeah. But look, Steve, all I know is in reference to what you just said about Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. That's a very, very tough team, and they got some shit to prove too down there. Okay, and what's going to have to happen is we're going to have to come. We have to prove to ourselves that we have what it takes to compete at a halfway decent level, man. If we play a solid goddamn game in Nashville, I like the other 10 trillion Giant fans on this earth will be so freaking satisfied to knock anybody out. But I can't see us losing 36-10. I see us losing, if we do lose by a field goal at the end of the game, something like 20-17. That's the kind of result that the ball is looking for. Just like the Buffalo Bills.
So that you know, as of today, the spread is 5.5. So you're taking the Giants with the points.
Yes, I am.
Or that's what you want.
That's right. Now.
Let me think about this.
But again, I don't know what we're going to have in 2 weeks. I know. Right now. Because I don't know what – again, this is all – in fact, this whole episode, ladies and gentlemen, has been what – the hell kind of hands are we playing here? So, no, but, go for it.
Yeah, all right, so the last point of, you know, a lot of the points we discussed, this 53-man roster, who do you think is going to make it? Now, we just talked about Colin Johnson going out. He's going to be on the IR. That should make room for somebody like Alex Bachman. Remember, I asked you about 30 minutes ago, do you think he makes the 53 miles? It's possible he may not have made it if Colin Johnson was available or not put on the IR. Who do you think else? I heard your mini rant on CJ Board. I'm with you. I still don't understand why he's still here. But who makes it? Who do you see on the outside looking in? Who makes the cut?
From the wide receiver position, I truly believe that Richie James is going to hang out now. Okay, we got him a couple of months ago from the, I think the 49ers. He can't hold on to the ball that well, by the way. But, again, we're talking default here. Who makes it? For wide receiver, I'm going to say Richie James. I'm going to say Alex Bachman. And I'm going to stop there. Before I go any further, I don't know where exactly the kid that I liked that blocked so well the other night. His last name is Doss. I don't know where he's going to land. Okay?
Keelan Doss?
He's my dog.
You talking about Keelan?
Keelan Doss, yes. I don't know exactly where he's going to be. And I think he has to battle it out pretty much at this point with probably David Sills, who I think should stay. So
That's a lot of wide receivers, man.
That's too many wide receivers. Somebody has to go after this Jets game. That's what I'm saying. We will know Monday.
Okay.
We will know Monday. But Kemp is gone.
That's a lot, man.
There's too many wide receivers. At least two are going to be gone after that. Doss is probably going to be one of them. And I think, I got to separate who I like. I know. Doss got to go. We got what do we need? 7, right? Is that it?
That's a lot, but 7 is a lot.
5,
man.
6. Yeah.
I would try to keep 5, no more than 6.
Let me tell you who's staying. Galladay, Robinson, so we can do this real quick. I don't want to run out of time. Galladay, Robinson, Tony, Slayton, I said Richie James, I said Alex Bachman. Just stop right there.
6.
I didn't say Sterling Steffens, so you got so somebody's got to.
7, might, that's, that, Bachman that's might 7. Out.
Yeah.
That means C.J. Board is out. That means C.J. Board is out, right? The kick return.
Yeah. I'm sorry, because I count him as a goddamn kick returner. Oh, God, I'm having a headache. Okay. Board, let's say Board, because I'm sorry. I don't have any love for him. Board, Dawes, this is going to kill me. But might have to go. Okay? Because I think they're going to keep Richie James. They like him.
Okay.
But I like Sid Davis Sills. But anyway, too much. I don't want to run out of time. So that's why I receive.
Keep 8 offensive linemen, right? 7, you know, you should keep 8. I always think 8 is the right number for offensive linemen, right? You already know who's starting, and I say behind them. All right, so I don't think there's really no surprise. They didn't bring Jamil Douglas in to cut him, so he's there. Maybe Max Garcia.
Right.
I don't know who might be that other. I mean, at this point, I don't know who they may go. They're probably a guy that could do guard and tackle. They got their two centers.
Okay.
All right. We talked about the tight ends, right?
Yeah.
We said Bellinger's is a lock. How many tight ends we keep? 2, right?
We got to keep just 2. I say Myerick is the next guy, and Andre Miller's going to walk. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Because if you're going to throw in the extra, if you throw in the extra wide receiver, you could slice the tight end. Okay, that's fair.
Correct.
Oh no, a guy that we did not talk about and we should kind of talk about. What do you thought about Antonio Williams, man? You know, I thought he actually had some nice runs.
Oh my God, Brightwell's gonna look. He's looking out the door, man. Okay.
Oh.
Because let me tell you why. Well, wait a minute. Maybe not. Because I'm gonna tell you what he would have been if Corbin didn't get hurt. Because Corbin was coming. Corbin was trying to get that job. But we lost Corbin and we lost Sandro. So Antonio Williams, who would that make then? That would be, well, Barkley's not going anywhere. Then you're looking at Breda. I don't know. I didn't even see him. I don't remember him playing. Then Brightwell, then Antonio Williams like that. But don't be surprised if Antonio Williams starts getting all Brightwell shine. Okay? He
was
playing his ass off. A right, really nice run. Okay. So that's that.
I agree
What's
with that.
What's next step, Steve?
I agree with that. Let's go to defense. Let's go to defensive line, man. 3-4. So you can see. Oh man, they got injuries too over there. Ojulari. Oh man. I would say you keep. You already know who's starting. You keep probably. I don't know if you like Jalen Holmes. I don't know how you feel about that or the other outside the rush, Jer Harward.
Ryder got a Ryder just got.
Okay.
Jalen Holmes, I'm not in love with either.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure what DJ Davidson is going to do for us yet, bro. Those are the only things
I don't
know what he's about. Oh, and I'm not in love with David Moe.
Okay.
I think you're good.
Two nose tackles will be fine. I think 3's pushing it. I mean, they got guys coming back like Blake Martinez, so what's this guy? Crowder, you could have him out there. Ojulari.
Yeah.
I guess you could be okay with Cam Brown out there. I don't know how they're going to do with the backup. Or Quincy Roche, and I know Big O was big on that like about a month ago when we were talking about him. All right, secondary, man. What about the secondary? Damn it.
Okay. Well, Griffin's gone. He got hurt. So that's going to make it easier there for the cornerbacks. How many do you keep? Do you keep 4? How many?
4
do you keep, 6?
5? Maybe 5 to 6 is cool.
Okay.
5 to 6 is cool.
Griffin played his ass off, but he may get cut.
Yeah.
And And I'm not in love with what's his name? Come on, man. I got to put this back up again. Here we go.
Which one?
But Darius Williams, man, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with him, man, in the Patriot game. I hope he's redeemed himself. At least Steve. Aaron Robinson should be all right. Ladore's over there. Rodarius Williams probably has a job anyway. Leave him alone. Darren Evans was pretty good. And Gilbert was playing, but I didn't really watch him, so I don't really have a good take on him. But I know we need at least six corners. What do you think?
I would say, I think after this, I'm going to watch a lot of that Jet game versus the Jets, and I'll probably have more of a concrete answer. I'm kind of iffy, like you said, with Belton and Darius Williams. I got to see more. I'll be honest with you. I was outside of the game first half in the Patriots, I didn't really pay too much attention to the cornerback play. I was actually focusing more on the front seven. I wanted the pass rush to be working. So I needed to take a little bit more time analyzing the back half of the secondary, no matter who's in there. So I was really focused on pass rush, front line. I always look at it like that. That always sets the tone. All right, man, I think we covered pretty much damn near everything, because in 2 weeks we'll start, week one of the regular season, we'll have the pick-ems and elimination. What's it called? Survivor. We have the Survivor picks in two
Survivor.
Weeks. I'm going to start. I only got a couple of minutes. Let's get off the Giants real quick, because Knickerbocker Avenue, Search for the Streets for the Knicks. We had a nice back and forth last night at the end of his show with the boxing. Now, man, I know that's dear to your heart, too. How did you feel about what happened in the Joshua fight? I asked him the same question last night. And then also, upcoming fights, man, Ortiz and Ruiz. You get this Usyk Fury thing going in the heavyweight division. What are your thoughts on that? And then, we'll shut it down. We'll be back in 2 weeks to start a regular season for the football.
Did you see the Joshua fight. I saw the highlights of the Joshua fight. Let me ask you something. What's the Joshua's head? I mean, okay. Are you talking about an upcoming Joshua fight? Wait a minute. What are we talking about? Are you talking about which Joshua fight? Are you talking about the one that just passed that I missed because I was on a plane. I didn't see it. I just saw the highlights.
Okay. Oh, you didn't see it. I was talking about the upcoming Ruiz fight and King Kong Ortiz, and also what happened. I thought the Usyk Joshua fight you missed I loved it. It was a good fight. Very good fight, solid fight. But if you didn't see it, we could catch up if you hadn't seen it. It's cool.
Yeah, I missed it because I was traveling. I want to ask you something that though. And I want to know what you think about. Well, I want you to keep on going. What? Because we only got a few seconds here. If Ruiz beats. Question is, who should he target? Who's next? That's what I'm saying. That's what I need to ask of you.
It's going to be. You there's a couple ways to go with that.
Should Wilder come back?
Right, exactly. That is right there. That's the next guy. That's the next guy in the gauntlet. Whoever wins, you get the Ortiz rematch. Who actually had Wilder. In that fight, if you ask me, until Wilder hit him with that bomb in 2019. I mean, that shit comes out of nowhere, man. Marvel Comics Thanos, Infinity Rings Super Punch. It's like a video game punch he throws.
I watched that fight and missed the punch because I looked down. Missed the punch in real time. I was like, what?
Both of those guys are looking at Wilder. Well, Wilder should be looking at Joshua, and I think at this point Joshua should be looking at Wilder too. To be quite honest, I mean that's now the top of the heat is definitely you say it's not a sexy fight for the okay, if you're a casual boxing fan, if you just, okay, I just want to go somewhere to watch the fight, play some spades and have some Hennessy, just to kick it with some camaraderie, you know, a nice house little gathering, you know, you may do that. But if you are a boxing aficionado, like you like the sport, you follow it, you know who Usyk is and you know who Tyson Fury is, that's a very good fight. And that's because it's not like those two, maybe Fury up until this point, because Fury's been getting a lot of popularity with ESPN, but Usyk is hella fucking skilled, yo. I mean, he cleaned up cruiserweight. He took every last belt they had. He took the hors d'oeuvre, everything they had in that division, food, furniture, belts, car. He took everything. He cleaned it out. Like bar none, left it empty, and now he's going for blood. I mean, you got to appreciate this guy. And what he did, and Joshua fought a good fight. And that's the thing. It's one of those situations. It's like, I had my best game, and it's still not enough. And Joshua was pissed. And I can't blame him for his frustration and how he went off. He left the ring, he came back, he got on the mic, was cussing. And listen, man, sometimes it be like that. Sometimes it just be like that. He threw everything he could at the guy, but the guy is just so fucking skilled and won the last three rounds. It's crazy.
Correct. Correct. Pound for pound, Usyk, what do you see him at? Because I still – Crawford, ain't nobody fucking with Crawford. Okay, let me just put that up. Let's get that out of the way. Do you see him after Spence maybe?
Usyk?
Yeah.
He's definitely top. He's definitely top five. I mean, the guy came up from, you know, that light heavyweight cruiserweight division, cleaned that out.
Yep.
Before that, he was running the gamut at super middleweight. I mean, the guy can box. Like, the guy's nice. Them Ukrainian cats is nice. I definitely would. I mean, Fury's a different animal, though. Fury's a different animal because if Fury's not in his low points of his life and he came out training, and like if a focused Fury probably could win, but that shit's going to be good, man, because you never see Usyk really go down like that. The guy's nice. He's always prepared.
Right. Yeah, you know. Okay, I just see him. He's definitely top five. And I really don't – he's obviously over Alvarez. You know that. But after Crawford – because I'm always interested in pound for pound. I think that matters to me. Okay?
Everybody knows Crawford.
And then – because I see Usyk probably number three, man, because I think – I got to put Spence over him right now. But I just wanted to know how you felt about it because you asked the question, man. Then I'll put Fury after him. So – you know, a case could be made for Alvarez. A case could be made for what's my man that beat Alvarez?
Alvarez took a bad L the last fight. Alvarez needs some making up to do.
Him. Whoever that guy, Dimitri something. Yeah, he took a bad fuck that. Yes, he did. So all right. I just wanted to know how you felt about that. We are out of time.
We're out of time. Hey, man, we'll be two weeks, start of the regular season. We'll kick it off again in another season here on the BBRT Big Blue Roundtable. And Chris, good talking with you. And then we'll go from there, man. We'll chop it up. We'll see you on the show some year, man.
Sangre Azul. Can you dig it?
Yes, we can.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.